of our minds and hearts to hear the Word of God. Lord, I can't imagine a time many, many years ago when music wasn't even an acceptable part in the worship service. And we just pray that you would continue to have us listen to the words of the music and to understand the truths that are conveyed, and help it again to always prepare our hearts for opening up the Bible and learning from Thee. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. If you would, turn to John chapter 6. And we went through the first six verses somewhat. I'm going to start in verse 5 and read through verse 11. I mentioned much of this morning, but there's another area I want to get into. John chapter 6, verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that they may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here, which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And again, you just look at the story, and then the next verse is going to say they gathered up the fragments that remained, that nothing would be lost. And we know there's 12 baskets, if you've ever read the story, heard the preaching on it, and I'm sure everybody in here has. But you just look at that, those truths that are conveyed here. When Jesus asked the question, it wasn't a question in order to find an answer because God didn't know the answer. He knew the answer. Jesus knew the answer. He says in the verse, he said, for he knew what he would do. He already knew. Sometimes God will ask you a question. You remember one of the first questions was, "Adam, where art thou?" You think God had lost Adam in the garden? No, he's saying, "Adam, where are you spiritually? What's going on? Why, or you can think about Cain when he killed his brother Abel. You know, where's your brother?" And the famous quote back, "Am I my brother's keeper?" But he asked him, he says, "Where's your brother?" He knew where he was. He knew that he'd been killed. The questions asked of God of us are not for God's curiosity. It's not because God doesn't know. It's because God wants us to consider where we are spiritually. So I want to look today, in John, the word compassion is not used one time. And there's a reason for that. In your Bible, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic Gospels. John is independent of them in that it just comes from a different perspective. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are, you can just sort of fit them together. John is its own real Gospel book. But in Matthew, it reflects Jesus Christ as King. In Mark, He's the servant. In Luke, He's the man, and then in John, He's God. And so, the only time you find compassion in those four gospel books is in the book of Matthew, six times. You'll find compassion in there. And you think about it, He's the King in Matthew. Well, the King, if He doesn't have compassion, He'd say, "Off with your head." You know, earthly King. And so, the King shows compassion. And as He shows compassion, I want to show you a couple of different things we're going to look at concerning compassion, but I want to define it first. Compassion means to come alongside. I stand in your place. That's what compassion is. It's not how the world defines it. You know, sometimes we think of, you know, compassion, and then you can also look in, you know, we did one of our devotional books on compassion, and you break compassion down, and you see passion is one of the root words in there. But I want you to go ahead and turn with me. We probably will not be back in the book of John until toward the end, in Matthew chapter 9. Remember that this story is told three times in John chapter 6, Matthew 14, Mark 6, and Luke 9. So we're going to go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 9 and look what compassion first does. It moves us to pray. That's what compassion does. Matthew 9:36, and when he saw the multitudes, Matthew 9:36, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. And here's what compassion moves you to do. Pray ye therefore for the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth labors into His harvest. What we need to do is we need to pray. We need to pray that God will send forth laborers. One of the things that is lost today in the world is the act of prayer. The prayer for others, the compassion that it takes to pray for those you don't know, those you may not love. Pray for your enemies. But it tells you to do that. What is the act of prayer? It's compassion. It's putting yourself in their place. Listen, if we would pray more, we would suffer less. Because when you're praying in the sufferings, they're not as bad. They're not as tumultuous. It's a whole different world. When I pray, it makes a big difference in my life. I told you, I do a 5K almost every day, and I pray, and I'm listening to Scorby read the Bible to me, and I'm praying and praying. I'm saying, Lord, I want your will today. I want to see your hand in my life. I want you to bring me in touch with people that you want me to talk to or to minister to or whatever it is. And I'm amazed sometimes when those things just one after another after another after another. I am of all people blessed. I mean, I just look around and I think about what God has done and listen, life is precarious. I mean, it can be all over tomorrow. I could, you know, we're not guaranteed another day of life. He says, don't plan out and go, you know, we're going to do this. No, if the Lord wills, we'll do this. Always keep the will of God in mind. That's what I try to do every single day. And I encourage you time and time again. I tell you, if you'll just pray, not my will, but thine be done. And you mean that. It'll make a world of difference, because then when something comes on, you can assess it and go, well, I wonder if this was the will of God. And by the way, the will of God is not always done. So don't cop out with, you know, well, I tripped down the steps. Guess that was the will of God. No, you should have told the kids to put up the toy on the top of the steps. And you should spank the child for not putting the toy up for the 14th time you've tripped down the steps. That's not the will of God necessarily. Maybe it is in that you need to discipline children or, you know, I don't know. It's sort of weird talking about children and you only have really, you know, one set of young people right now. But it needs to be said. It's children. It's, you know, you got one coming up. So, you know, maybe it's for you. Maybe it's for me. We're going to go see our grandchild. And they said, boy, he's spoiled. I said, well, that's parenting, son. I told you when they were leaving, the last place we were here was in the church. And it was that Sunday or Wednesday night. And Landon was starting to run down the aisle, and Justin says, you go that way, and I'll go that way. And I went, no, no. I said, Landon. And he walked right over to me, put my hand out, and my son says, how do you do that? I only disciplined him one time while they were here in that store when he ran away from me. One time. But he knew that he did not want to disappoint me. And by the way, that goes a long way. Whatever it is, parenting, relationships, marriage. You know, you do a lot better trying to get someone, your spouse, to want to please you rather than, you know, rah, 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 and you start fighting about. No, the best way to motivate people is through love. So what's the first thing compassion does? Compassion moves people to pray. Turn over to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Now, you're going to look at this maybe and you're going to say, well, look, I can't heal anybody. And because compassion, the second thing is that it moves to heal. In Matthew 14:14, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. You know why Jesus healed the sick? Because he was a compassionate God. He was compassionate. He didn't come here to heal people. That is not why Jesus became a man. Now, when he healed, the Jews require a sign. Healing is part of those signs, and therefore he used those signs to show them that he was God. He left them without excuse, and that's why he did the healing. But the way you, if you watch television and the televangelists, you know, they'd give you the impression that this is the, you know, this is what God, you know, wants everybody just to be in perfect health. He doesn't. We last week, remember the song, and we read the history of it, and the man was blind. Who was the Fanny Crosby? I was going to say who was the lady, but it just popped in. Fanny Crosby. Do you think Fanny Crosby might not have written that many songs if she could see? Probably wouldn't have. So she can't see. Her love is music. She's incapacitated, and especially at that time, there was no ADA, you know, Americans with Disabilities Act, to make sure you can get around. And you know, I saw where they had Braille on when you were going through to pay your toll at a place, and they had Braille on there, and I thought, man, that's pretty wild. It's 50 cents. Okay, 50 cents. Nowadays, you probably could do that if you got a self-driving car, but you know why they do that? They do it because our government is that dumb. You can get sued for not taking care of those with disabilities, even if it makes no sense to put Braille on a toll booth. But that's where we are in America, an insane asylum run by the inmates, no doubt about it. And I don't want to get into politics. I'll move on. I got my fill the other night, and I am filled. So the first thing is, you see that it moved to pray, then it moved to heal. And now look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 is, again, the same place we are in John. Let me get over there with you. In Mark chapter 6, you're going to see that it moved to teach. To teach. Look at verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. You know what compassion will do? Compassion will lead you to teach. I believe teaching and preaching is one of the most important things, because it changes lives. I learned my Bible, and after I learned my Bible, I was no longer under the thumb of others to where they could manipulate the Bible and tell me things and say this is the way what the Bible means. No, it's not up to any private interpretation. Is my interpretation always right? No, it's not. Because I am still human. And I have to always keep that into account. But the point is, the more you learn, the more freedom you have. The Bible says the truth shall make you free. It does not say set you free. It says make you free. You're not set free to do your own thing. You're made free to follow God in spirit and truth. I want truth. Because listen, this world, the one thing it doesn't care about now, it seems, is truth. It doesn't matter, you know, and again, I'm going to avoid the politics. It doesn't matter what the truth is. People say, I don't care, and they turn a blind eye to it. That's not the way life is supposed to be. We're supposed to look for truth and desire truth and want to give other people the truth. What's the truth? Jesus died for your sins. He's the Savior. He can change a life. He can take somebody that has been in drugs and any other sin you can imagine. He can take a murderer and reform that murderer so that he'll never do it again and that he will repent for what he's done and look at it and say, you know what? I don't ever want to be in that situation again. I want to love. I want to make up for what I've done. And that's not a bad thing to want to make up for the sins of what you've committed. A lot of people say, well, you know, it's in the past. No, it's okay to keep those things in memory. You forget those things that are behind if they're debilitating. I move forward, I press toward the mark. But the thing is, there are things in my past that help me not make the same mistakes. I need to remember those things. I need to remember the lessons of life. I need to remember the experience that I went through that got me to where I am, that's going to hopefully enable me to go better in the future. When he says forget those things, he's not saying be oblivious to the stupidity that you've done for yourself and how you've messed up or I've messed up. No, he wants us to learn and grow and continually be looking for a better life to live, to affect people in a way that only he can do through us. And the best way to do that is to relinquish our control of our lives. So the next one that was in there, it moved him to teach. Now let me dispel something here before I move on. I studied a lot. I studied religions. My PhD is in religion. And there are religions that teach that Jesus really doesn't hear your prayers in heaven. You've got to go through another mediator to get to him. And they say the best mediator is a man's mom. So they say the best way to get to Jesus is to go to Mary. That's not true. He has compassion. And that's what you need to see there. He had compassion on the people. Mary wasn't there trying to cajole him and say, hey, don't you care about these people? You'll never find that one time in your Bible, but that is what religions teach. Oh, the best way, you know, best way to get to Jesus is through Mary. That's just simply not true. We see the compassion here, and he was moved with compassion, and because of that, he taught the people. Look at another one in Mark chapter 8, a few chapters over. Mark chapter 8. Look at verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. 4,000 few small fishes again. 7 loaves. Why did he do it? Verse 2. I have compassion. Jesus, as a man on this earth, was compassionate. He's our example. He's the one we need to follow. He's the one we need to emulate. He's the reason we should have compassion on others. It's not easy to always be compassionate. I see people on the side of the road with a sign up, and I don't stop and give them money. I just don't. I've just seen too much of abuse with that. You know, I've seen the undercover stuff where they're dressed up like an old person. I don't say an old hag because that was the point. That's what they were doing. And, you know, dressed up as somebody that was, you know, hunched over and that, and then they follow them and, you know, they take all that off and they start to get in their car and they stop them. And, you know, man, they've raked in a lot of money on those streets. It has to be beneficial or they wouldn't be there. If a man will not work, neither should he eat. That's the Bible principle. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't have compassion on somebody truly in need. But I say go buy him a meal. I say go take him to the gas station and put some gas in their car so they can get to this place that they tell you they're trying to go to, rather than just giving them some money and you are responsible for what you do with that. That is not lacking compassion. And then while you're taking the time to fill up or put some gas in their car, what are you doing? You're talking to them about the Lord. Telling them about Jesus. That's compassion. Compassion is not just trying to fill the physical need in order to put a band-aid on a problem. It's considering that they have a soul and they need to hear about Jesus. And you're using every opportunity to tell them about that. When Jesus had compassion and he fed those multitudes, it's a whole different situation. He's got thousands of people there, and they've been there 3 days. He knows what we don't know. I can't tell you whether somebody is crooked or dishonest like he can. He never missed a beat. He knew their thoughts. He knew their heart. He knew who they were. I don't. I'm limited. You're limited. You've got to do what you can do, but don't think just because somebody pulls on your heartstring that you got to, oh, I got to give it. I got to give it up. I mean, I have it. They don't. No, you might be surprised what they're driving when they get away from you. He said, I have compassion. So he fed the people. By the way, you know, one of the things I'm praying about, and I don't know if I've mentioned it to you, but you might think I'm nuts. I don't like littering. I used to litter as a kid, and then I saw the signs, and it said, you know, big fine, don't litter. And then they started a program, and they taught us young people not to litter. And it cleaned up the streets. Well, I go down Valpeep Boulevard every day. And it's, you know, they've cleaned it up a lot, and after I mentioned it to the mayor, the next day, it was pretty well cleaned up. There's not a whole lot now. But I mentioned to him that I'd like to see us as a city change this thing to where we adopt Valpeep Boulevard and we clean it up. And then if they want to put a sign up that says, hey, you know, this is kept clean by Faith Independent Baptist Church, you put it right down past the Catholic Church. Be all right with me. And then we go down there and you know, you don't touch anything. I don't pick up a whole lot right now because, you know, COVID. Although I don't know that you can get it. I still have to be conscious of that. But, you know, we get some clippers, some nail things, you know, use my trailer and drive the tractor down there and just go down one side, come up that other side, and we're done. But I'd like to be an example to the community. Look, we care about our city. And then I would like to see if we can get this thing further out there in the city. So think about that. I don't know what that's got to do with compassion. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the squirrels are eating the fiberglass or the styrofoam, because it seems like most of the cups out there are styrofoam or beer cans, by the way. I walked down today, and I mean, there were at least 10 styrofoam cups. I mean, the big gulp. Probably don't. It doesn't fit in their little holder, so they just throw it out the window when they're done. But you know, I don't know. I mean, we just have to. We have to make sure people know that we do care. How do you do that today? I don't know. Maybe starting a movement like that would help. So you know, you let me know if you're interested. I may figure out how to get the little tools to pick it up and the trash bags to put it in. And I've already mentioned it in my last, I didn't want to bring it up while I was fighting them on the change on the, you know, the ordinance. I brought it up the week, I brought it up the month before when I was first there. Then I didn't bring it up this time, but I'm going to be down there at the next meeting. And if I'm not out of town, which now that I think of it, I may be out of town, but if I'm in town, I'll be at those meetings and I'm going to talk to our city council. I mean, they all know me pretty well now. I'm going to talk to our mayor and I'm going to see if we can get something started where this place doesn't look like we live in a pigsty along the roads. I don't like it. I just think it's disgusting to have trash all over the place. And they couldn't use, just so you know, they couldn't use the prisoners because they were not allowed to get out for many, many, many months. And so now they're just getting out. All of the stuff like our sidewalks out here are delayed because of that. But we are on the list to get sidewalks. Now let's look at another one. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. You know what the next one is? And this one is pretty interesting. Jesus was moved by compassion to raise the dead. You say, well, I can't raise the dead. Well, in some ways you can. People are dead in trespasses and sins, and if you and I will tell them about Jesus Christ, we can take them from being dead to life. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Where am I? There am I. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead, making no doubt about it, sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a great fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us. That God, I'll turn off my phone, it was off. It was not. Glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen among us, and that God hath visited his people, and this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. In verse 13 it says, the Lord saw her and compassion on her. Compassion moved Jesus to raise the dead. Aren't you glad you have a compassionate God? We're looking at these examples of Jesus in his earthly body, but God is no different up in heaven now. He wants us to have a relationship, and he will do things to get your attention to try to instill that relationship that only he can provide for us. He wants that relationship. Are you wanting the same type of relationship with him? He loves you. He loves you. It's an indescribable love. He's compassionate. He cares. Don't think of God as some bully waiting for you to mess up, to slam you down. That's not God. That's the way we've heard him preach time and time again. Basically, he's just waiting for you to mess up. No, he is looking for an opportunity to bless you in a way that only he can do. What a great God. What a great God. Amen? Just making sure you're still there. So, when we look at God, trying to find my first note. He was moved to pray. His compassion moved him to pray. His compassion moved him to heal. His compassion moved him to teach. His compassion moved him to feed. His compassion moved him to raise the dead. Now let's drive it home a little bit. Look at Jude 1, hopefully a familiar verse to you. Jude 1, because there's only one Jude. Thank you, Melody, for your snicker and laugh. But you're not supposed to be laughing. That's why I didn't want to get around you, by the way. When I heard that you were hurting, I need to stop. Jude 1:22. And some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even the garment spotted by the flesh, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So he says, and some have compassion, making a difference. Do you know your compassion can make a difference? Jesus' compassion made a difference. You say, well, I'm not Jesus. No, you're not, but we are sent to represent Him. We are ambassadors for Him. So why not display that same compassion? Because He cares. We should care. Because He loved, we should love. This world is becoming a world where love is almost non-existent. You know, the Bible says in the last days, in Matthew, says that love will wax cold. Don't let it do that to you. If you watch the news, you can get really angry. You can get really mad. And we don't know how the country's going to go. The country's had a lot of things going on that we are not proud of and we're not happy with, and we've just got to decide not to let it to affect us in a negative fashion. If we spend all our time talking about that, we won't have the compassion that we need to try to help other people. We need to be compassionate. We need to make a difference. You say, well, I can't help the United States. Well, actually, you can. I'll tell you how you do it. You do it in your home, your church, your city, your state, and if you can get any further than that, go ahead. But I know we can make a difference in our homes and our church. I know that. That's a given. In our city, probably so. In our state, that's, you know, getting out there. But hey, Niceville's pretty nice. Nice place to live. Let's keep it that way. Let's try to make sure that we're part of the solution and not part of the problem. Let's make sure we're doing everything we can to show other people the love of Christ. Well, turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, make sure that your walk matches your talk. A lot of people can talk about love and loving others and having compassion, but listen, if you talk about it and you don't bring it to pass, you really don't have it. Look at one more passage, and that's in 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, look at verse 8. He says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, full of pity, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that we are thereunto called, that we should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Guile is deceit or duplicity. He says, be pitiful, full of pity, tender, compassionate. I want to be compassionate. I do. Do you know what it takes to be compassionate? You got to work on it. It's not a natural thing. In this world, you're set up for, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Who is that? Well, the one that yells the loudest and pitches the biggest fit, they're the ones that get their way. You know, I know I used to do that enough that, you know, I wouldn't leave a track on the table after I pitched the fit. You know, I remember we were traveling at Thanksgiving. My daughter doesn't let me forget this one, is how come it's so fresh in my memory. It was Thanksgiving Day, and this steakhouse said, you know, they had this special every day of the week. I don't remember what city we were in. You know, it was in Florida. And so we went in there to eat on Thanksgiving Day. And they said, oh, no, it's Thanksgiving Day. And we got turkey and gravy on the buffet. And so your sign says that it's the special today. And that's why I'm in here, because your sign says it's the special today. And I got the two kids in tow, and Judy and I, and they wouldn't give me the special. What's the hot dog place? What's that hot dog place? Anybody know a hot dog place that's pretty, it's national? What? No, it was not a good one. Whatever it was, that's where I took the kids for Thanksgiving, because I was mad. I was mad that they wouldn't give me the deal that their sign said, because they were too lazy to go out and change the sign. And we were supposed to be smart enough to know that it doesn't apply to Thanksgiving Day, you know. But, you know, I had my rights. Really? That's what the sign said. You abide by the sign. You let me in. Well, he had 20 people behind me. He couldn't let me in. He had let them all in. So we went out and we got ourselves some hot dogs for Thanksgiving. Now, I wouldn't do that today. But back then, I just wasn't who I should be. I wasn't compassionate. I wasn't understanding. I was like, look, if your sign says it, you better do it. And so I've hopefully grown a little bit. I want to make a difference. How do you do that? Compassion. Having compassion, making a difference. We can make a difference. You can make a difference in this church, in your family. We can make a difference in this city. And I'm bound and determined to do it. When I went down there and I talked to them about changing the ordinance, I had a thing written in there, and I said, you know, you'll, if we have a massacre on Sunday morning or something like that, you'll be sorry you didn't do more. And I changed that on the last day after I prayed about it. And I said, if we have, you know, a massacre, death of a family on Sunday morning because they changed the ordinance, I'm going to wish I had said more. And then that just makes it personal. I'm not pointing my finger at them and trying to make them feel bad. It was, I would wish that I had come down here. I had stood up. I had made my voice heard. And that's what I changed it to, because after a lot of prayer, the Lord led me and just said, look, you don't need to make this a personal thing. They're going to pass this thing. It's not the end of the world. You need to say something because it's the right thing to do to say something. But after it was done, we stayed there. We, you know, I smiled. I didn't let it ruin my night. The mayor told me, look, it's gonna be a unanimous vote. I was prepared for that. But let's go ahead and stand together. Do you have compassion? Do you have compassion? We need to be a compassionate people. Let me go ahead and pray, and we'll start the music. Lord, we do thank you for many blessings. Just pray, Lord, you would guide, lead, and direct, and have your will and way during the invitation time. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.